listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Do you ever feel inadequate when coming to conversations in public settings, in the public, like, square?
Sometimes, yeah.
I do.
When people have big words and I don't know what they mean.
We're going to talk big words.
Oh, I know. I'm so excited.
We have some big words and we're starting a new series today. I'm excited about this. Looking forward to digging in as we take a look at a curriculum that came out a little over a year ago. We've given people a chance to use it and give us some feedback. And now it's time for us to dig into it.
Yes.
So you can learn about it as well. Prepared with a Reason from Concordia Publishing House. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can learn more about Concordia University, Wisconsin by visiting cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Mark Wood, pastor of Shepherd of the Canyon Lutheran Church in Gold Canyon, Arizona. He's also former managing director of church planting, renewal, and support for the LCMS Office of National Mission. Dr. Wood, welcome back to The Coffee Hour.
Hey, it's been a while, but I'm glad to be back with you.
Thank you. It's good to get to chat with you. And you are in Arizona now, shepherding the Shepherd of the Canyon Lutheran Church in Gold Canyon, Arizona. So you're, I guess, an under-shepherd for the shepherd. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. Your English district, new church start. So just recently chartered. And we're part of the Arizona North Circuit. And do you know there's 8 congregations in our circuit and 3 of them have shepherd in their name. So we got a theme going on here.
That's amazing.
We are glad to have you on today. We're excited to talk about this resource that I know you were involved in when you served in the LCMS Office of National Mission. Also joining us in studio, Dr. Lisa Clark. She's senior editor for curriculum resources at Concordia Publishing House. Lisa, welcome.
Thanks so much. Love visiting with you as always.
Well, we are glad to have you here and excited to talk about this curriculum. Love to hear from both of you about the why behind this curriculum, Prepared with a Reason. Pastor Wood, would you tell us a little bit about why a curriculum like this is important for preparing us for challenging conversations?
Well, the start of this whole project really goes back quite a way to a conversation I was having with Pastor Marcus Zill, who at the time was the director of campus ministry for the LCMS. And guess what? I just recently installed as the pastor of Shepherd of the Pines in Payson, Arizona, part of my circuit. So, but what we were talking about were the challenges that our youth are having as they go from, you know, they're being raised up in a Lutheran environment and maybe even in Lutheran education, certainly learning God's word, growing in God's word through high school. And then they go off to university and they hear all these things that they haven't heard before. And many of them are being swayed by their professors into a worldview that's quite contrary to Christianity. And we were talking about, you know, how do we prepare our students who are going to go into those environments so they're not, you know, blindsided, they're not swayed by these new arguments, new ideas, but instead they're prepared to defend the faith and to, you know, unmask these ideas for what they are.
Dr. Clark, a little bit more from your perspective on why a curriculum like this.
Yeah, from my perspective, I was really excited when Dr. Wood reached out to us, to Concordia Publishing House, about this curriculum. Those of you who love apologetics, there's one of our big words we're going to be using today, which means defending the faith, right? And those of you who know a little about what's out there know that CPH does have one curriculum called 30 Lesson Apologetics from our Enduring Faith curriculum. However, that one's really geared for, okay, you've had catechism, maybe you're in eighth grade, maybe you're in your ninth grade, and here are some real basics. We're talking about how do you talk to people? Who is Jesus? Can we believe him? And if we can believe him, we can believe the Bible, and then we can use the Bible as a guide, right? Which can be a helpful thing. And we tackle some topics, but really kind of at a very basic level. This curriculum is kind of a level up, but still starting with that idea of high school, I see this often as an upperclassman kind of level. Some could definitely do younger. You know who you are. If you want to start younger, do it. But a real key reason why I think this curriculum is so helpful is this term called anchor bias. And it's actually a pretty new term that I've been become familiar with. It's been out there a little bit. But the idea is that the first time you hear about a thing, you tend to give that information more weight than anything else. So if I were to tell Sarah that the sky is purple before she ever heard the sky is blue and ever looked outside, she might believe me better than anybody else. And so the fact that this curriculum starts with the high school level, but goes on, and we'll talk about that later, really is helpful in making sure high school students understand things before they even become in contact with some of these other ideas as they go out into new communities, new scenarios, new spaces with new people.
Yeah, this sounds like a really exciting opportunity for young adults to learn about these things that we're going to get into in the coming weeks in our series. Very excited about that. Pastor Wood, do you have examples of some scenarios, ways, and or times that this education and training might be really helpful?
Well, for any youth leader or parent of a child that's about to leave high school and go off to university, this could provide some very invaluable insights into what they're going to be confronted with. You know, so that was the original idea, certainly has applications outside of that, because, you know, this is everywhere. It's not just at university. It's just not in our college system. It's in our entertainment. It's in our social structures. It's in our government. And, you know, we want our children to be prepared for life, you know, for all the ways they're going to encounter this, because they are going to encounter it. And whether it's in casual relationships in the workplace or with friends that they make as they mature into adulthood, they're going to find people who have formed worldviews based on the things we'll be talking about. And like, as I mentioned before, contrary, complete contrast to a Christian worldview. So it has a wide application, but the original idea was, how do we equip our high school students to go off to college and be ready to deal with this?
So what are the topics that will be covered in Prepared with a Reason?
Well, we have lots of fancy terms, but they're in parentheses in the table of contents, because we don't want people to be put off by the fancy terms. So the topics are starting with, what is truth? The fancy term is epistemology, but there's something called truth, and that's the starting point. Then another topic is, you know, what exists? Where does everything come from? You know, the fancy term for that is ontology. Then the third topic is anthropology. It's about who we are as human beings, that we're more than animals. The fourth topic, axiology, another fancy term. All things are not equal. Some things are more important than other things. Some things have intrinsic value and other things don't. What's important? What should we value? Lisa, what are the other ones?
Yeah, let's see. We just did the all things are not equal. We should know better. So ethics, how do we know what's right and wrong? And how do we know that they're objective? We've got aesthetics. What is beauty? What is art? And this idea that not everything is beautiful. And then life after death, one of my favorite topics, eschatology, what happens when you die?
Not going to lie, I had to Google some of these terms when we were planning for this episode.
Some of them?
I mean, I knew a few of them, but definitely not all of them. So
and where these terms come from? Well, where these terms come from, these weren't just random terms. The starting point of this of putting this together was a book called The Universe Next Door by James Sire. And it's a textbook that's been used extensively, particularly in Christian education circles, that talks about what are the seven elements of a worldview. You know, in other words, how people view life, how they view their existence, how they view the world. And these are the seven elements that make up that worldview, and they have their roots in philosophy. So that's where the terms come from. We made use of them because of that, but we don't want to focus people on, you know, here's the fancy term. That's why we have the descriptor along with it. So ontology, which is the topic I tackled, rather than talk about it in terms of philosophy and fancy terms, it just boils down to the title. It all came from somewhere.
And we'll get to that, I think, in the third part of this series. We get to have you back to talk specifically about that topic, which is very exciting. Before I ask another question, we're going to take a quick break so we can dive further into this curriculum. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Eggleseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Eggleseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with Reverend Dr. Mark Wood and Dr. Lisa Clark about the curriculum prepared with a reason from Concordia Publishing House. We just covered the fancy terms, but also the reason why these fancy terms, these topics, these seven parts of a worldview are included in this curriculum. It looks, I mean, it's a fantastic lineup of topics to cover. I certainly am excited to dive into all of these in our coming episodes in this series. Pastor Wood, how does the curriculum prepare us in each of these topics?
Well, that we set a pattern, and that pattern was repeated in each of the units. And the idea of the pattern was to put out the concept that the world embraces, in other words, what the world says, and then to explore what the world says, and then examine it in light of Scripture. What does God's Word say? So somebody may not be familiar with a topic like ontology, but if I break it down into, here's what the world says, people say, oh yeah, I've heard that, or maybe even I've said that, you know, I recognize that. So I may not recognize the fancy philosophical term, but I certainly recognize what the world is saying. Okay, now that I recognize that and unpack it a little bit, what does God's Word say about this? And then God's Word addresses that, what the world says. And of course, God's Word is typically contrary to what the world is saying. And then there's a bit of an exercise of a reflection of, okay, what can I do with this information? So it's not just head knowledge. There's something practical that I can put to use with what I've learned about that particular topic.
Who is this curriculum for? I know we talked about the idea started with students who are preparing to go off to university, but I know that there are like three different books or levels in this curriculum. Tell us a little bit about who it's for.
Yes, so we have different levels. One is the high school level. The next one is young adults. Of course, not everyone who leaves high school will be going to college, but they're going to be going into, again, other contexts and mm-hmm. things. So whoever is older than high school, whatever that may mean. And then finally, the adult level. And while the curriculum from lesson to lesson are related, you know, lesson one is all related, no matter what level, they come at different angles. So for high school, the whole objective is to prepare high schoolers to, again, as we just said, the lessons are divided. Is the first page is why you need to know this. The next two pages are the what does the world say versus what does the word say. And then finally, that next page is giving them practical helps and really asking them to write things down. Give them notes so they feel equipped. And if they come across some of these ideas in the future, they can go back to their notes and remember what they wrote. But then young adult, if the young adult is out and coming across these things, maybe they already took the high school level, but they want to get re-strengthened, reaffirmed, what, you know, just let's review these kinds of things. That's helpful. Or if they didn't get a chance to look at the high school level, this is a great time to help them in a context. And we've heard from folks, which we'll talk about in a moment, but heard from folks who've used it in this context and felt really strengthened being able to talk about these things together. The adult level, I love because the whole objective is to equip them to talk to the high schoolers and young adults. So if it's a parent or a pastor or a youth leader, deaconess, DCE, whatever, who are ministering or reaching out to or leading these kids, this helps them give them language so that they can engage with young people and be those supportive, great role models.
I like the holistic format of this. We're capturing everybody here to really support people in their witness to others, prepared with a reason, hence the title of the curriculum. Professor Wood, what kind of feedback have you received from people using the curriculum?
Well, I have talked to people who've actually used it with their youth group, and they were very excited about how it all played out. And anytime we write something or put together a curriculum, we're never quite sure how it's going to be used or how it's going to be received. So what I was really impressed, as people have talked about making use of this, is how it led to much further discussion than we had really planned. So they said, we took the questions you had and it just exploded into conversations. So I always think that's a great resource that you have when people go beyond what you present to greater discussion, deeper discussion. So, you know, we have seven topics and you think, well, logically, then that's 7 weeks where you're going through it. No, it explodes out into 20 weeks or 30 weeks of discussions where they dig deeper and deeper into God's word to address these topics.
How is the curriculum laid out? I know that I looked at some of the student guides. Are there leader materials as well, Lisa?
Yes, the leader guide is a downloadable resource, but it's only one leader guide. It's one purchase, and then you get the leader guide that addresses all three levels. So three for one deal right there, which is helpful too, because again, if we're going to do this in a context, for example, of a church, and you want to help different levels, maybe it's the same leader, potentially. But even if not, you can kind of see how that all unfolds over the three levels.
Do I have to be a philosophy professor to lead this discussion, Pastor Wood?
Yeah, that would really muck things up. I have nothing against professors, but we were trying to come up with a very practical resource. And we didn't want to stay at the academic level. Yeah, we want to introduce the academics of it, but that's not where we want to stay. We want to get into, you know, what actually is helpful to people in their everyday lives as they go about, you know, their life and encounter these things in all sorts of contexts. So,
is there any preparation that a leader can, I don't know, add on to when they're preparing to teach this curriculum? Are there other things that are helpful to kind of round out a leader's perspective in order to be able to talk to these topics faithfully?
The book I mentioned earlier, The Universe Next Door by James Sire, is a really good resource. If you're not familiar with what a worldview is and what constitutes a worldview, I think picking up your electronic device and reading the news every day, you see examples of this. And that's the thing, if you work through the curriculum and you learn the ideas, if not the terminology, you begin to recognize it in our everyday lives. James Sire also wrote another book shortly before he passed away, and it was called Naming the Elephant. And even if you don't want to read a textbook like Universe Next Door, Naming the Elephant is an excellent presentation of what worldviews have morphed into in our contemporary culture. And it's a short book and a very easy read, but I think it's a great preparation if somebody wants to dive in and say, okay, I want to learn more about what constitutes a worldview. And of course, there's a whole host of apologetic materials. Many of those materials touch on these elements of a worldview, even if it's not explicit. It's always woven in there. I mean, a worldview is foundational to however a person's thinking or living. So even if you're not using the terminology, you'll recognize that that's part of that worldview element that I learned about.
Speaking of learning, what am I going to learn? What do you think you anticipate I might learn in the coming weeks in this series?
Well, you personally, Andy, are such a vast storehouse of knowledge. I doubt you'll learn anything. But for the average person.
For me, then.
I have a lot to learn.
we hope that people learn, number one, to recognize what element of a worldview is framing the conversation or the idea that they're considering, and how that's been infected by, you know, secularism, for lack of a better term, how being in a fallen and broken world has twisted something good that came from God into something terrible that comes from man and the darkness of our hearts. And all the things that we look around and see in our everyday lives, we begin to understand using this framework. Take, for example, the violence that's occurring where people go and they shoot up a church or a school and then they kill themselves. They say, well, how can somebody do something like that? Well, when you understand that the primary worldview of our culture is basically we come from nothing, we go to nothing. All I have is right now. And if right now is no good, if right now is horrible, nothing would be better. And yet they're so desperate to make a name for themselves, to be recognized, to be acknowledged, that they'll, rather than just kill themselves, they want to kill other people too and make the headlines. And you say, wow, that's a twisted worldview. But you start to understand a little bit of what's driving people's behaviors, what's driving their decisions, and how worldview is so fundamental to not just how people think, but how they act and what they value and how they respond to the message that we're bringing of life and forgiveness and salvation in Christ, which is totally, totally blows apart their worldview. So that's what I hope people learn, is the power of being able to address what's going on in the lives of people around them by understanding how fundamental worldview is and how it's driving their actions.
Dr. Clark, did you learn things putting this resource together, and any of that work?
Yeah, I think one of the important things about this resource is, what resonated with me is, there are people who've come to me and, well, you just believe what you believe because of the Bible. And I think, well, yes, but I forget to think, well, where did you come up with your beliefs? You know, what is the basis behind what you think in your worldview? And as we just said, all of these ideas come from somewhere. And this resource really helps the students learn where they came from. So you can say, well, your worldview is coming from this angle. And I think that also helps us speak with wisdom and strategy. Because I can't just say, well, you have to believe this because that's what the Bible says. Well, if that's not their authority, then I need to think of what their authority is. And if I realize, oh, your authority is this over here, that helps me put it in a context of, oh, well, because the place, you know, of your learning starts with Descartes or whatever the case may be, I'm even more assured than ever that my place of authority of coming from where God's word is the place I want to stay.
Yeah, absolutely. Pastor Wood, any questions that we should ask our guests in the upcoming episodes in the weeks to come, including you?
I think that question you just asked Lisa is a great question to ask our contributors too. What did you learn when putting together this material? I learned a lot. You know, I inherited this project. You know, it came to the Office of National Mission because there was a concerned donor who asked us, you know, what resources does the Synod have for this? And we're like, well, we really don't have anything right now. And so he funded the whole project. And because he was concerned about our children going off to university and being indoctrinated into these things. So I had to dive in and say, well, how do we approach this? What do we do with this? And I found myself very, very much a learner as I put together the ontology section, especially. I didn't even know what ontology was before I started. So I think all of our contributors probably found themselves learning quite a bit as they worked through putting this material together.
I'm looking forward to discussing ontology and learning what exists when we talk with Dr. Wood in that episode that's coming up in the near future as well. Now, the curriculum is available from Concordia Publishing House. Lisa, how do we find it? What do we need to look for?
That's right. You type in cph.org, Concordia Publishing House's website. Look at Prepared with a Reason. Remember that there are three different student books depending on the level. And the leader guide is a one-size-fits-all because it has all three in one. So make sure you get your leader guide as well.
So the leader guide is a digital resource.
Right.
And then the other materials are
They are print, and I think they might be also available digital, but the student books are available in print.
Very good. CPH.org, you can find Prepared with a Reason there. Man, I've learned a lot, and I am really excited about this series because I know I have a lot to learn in the coming episodes as well. Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Mark Wood, pastor of Shepherd of the Canyon Lutheran Church in Gold Canyon, Arizona, and former managing director of Church Planting Renewal and Support for the LCMS Office of National Mission. Pastor Wood, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
And Dr. Lisa Clark, senior editor, Curriculum Resources at Concordia Publishing House. Dr. Clark, thanks for joining us today.
Always a pleasure.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.